Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davinson Sanchez, Lucas Moura. And belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First try here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional. Who will try and place it? Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terror in the Burnley back line as Son breaks forward. Oh wow, what a run! Heung-min Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another new Spurs Order stream and podcast under the Touchline Fracker banner. We are the new Spurs Order, and I'll be your host today, X-Pac. And I'll be joined today by, firstly up, Kevin Nyash. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I was waiting for you to say the name because, you know, it still tickles me. Pause, but yeah, man, I'm good. Busy as
yeah,
always,
I went to pause before introducing you, and then I remembered what was said just before we went live, so I just thought I'd continue the theme as we are, and we'll rate the goatee later, maybe.
It's higher than 7.7, that's for sure.
Don't disagree. Scott Hall, how you doing?
Hey, man. It's a good time. You know, recently I've been in good spirits because we're signing people and people are potentially getting sacked off. So I've decided to channel all my energy now for the remainder of this transfer window and the entirety of the next season in getting rid of Huijsen. He's next on my agenda list. And by hook or by crook, I will get rid of that guy once and for all. And I will say to people that, yes, he is at the bottom of the stairs. That has not changed. There's no longer a need for him to come on down. It's just time to get him out of the stadium. Ending.
Oh, God.
Fair enough. There's a word from old hoisting source in from the training, which might touch upon before we talk about the preseason game. May not. But we got a special guest. We got a macho man from Chessy Hour. How you doing, man?
For anyone missing the added context, today yeah. I've been slandered religiously. They're calling me a Cobham sexual out here. You know, there's evidence of me prior to the recent signings we made saying, you know, Conor Gallagher would be a good signing. And, you know, I just appreciate good young footballers, and they just happen to train at Cobham, and I get slandered for it. But, you know, here's where it is, man. Wagwan.
Wagwan. And I quietly agree with quite a lot of what's said about some of these talents. But
he's got to let you, man, lets me frown by myself, bro.
100%. He can't get pammed anymore, man.
Yeah, he's steering into the skid today in the group chat, though. I respect it.
I had to do what I had to do, man. You get me? But now it's good time to be a Spurs fan, man. Let's get into it.
Exactly, man. And it was announced today that obviously the suspense is over. It hasn't been like official from the club, but it's been finally seemingly confirmed by a bunch of outlets that Dyad Spence has been and looks to be our sixth signing. I feel like I've said this like the last two or three pods I've been on, but alas, the fee's finally been agreed. A lot of people were saying, you know, Levy was holding up the deal. I was under the impression we were kind of just holding out for a better option, but we've settled it at 12.5 million up front, with it looking to be 20 million in add-ons. Firstly, is that a good signing? And secondly, are we going to give Levy credit for that? That's open to the floor.
I think I'll answer the first bit a little bit, and I would love Sai to answer the second bit. I think it is a really good signing for a plethora of reasons. Obviously, our homegrown quota is having an effect on some of the players we can look at. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I feel like, you know, the Brexit in me does like a little bit of, you know, red cross on the white flag in the team. You know, there was that time frame where there was quite a few Spurs players in the England lineup when we had Kyle Walker. It did make it very easy for people to call the England team Spursy, but that was something that I took a little bit of pride in, seeing a lot of Tottenham players in the lineup. I think with Jed Spence, I like how we got in there. Not that it's been done. Well, I mean, it's done early by our standards, I suppose. It has been like, it's weird that this feels like a dragged out transfer saga. I feel like it's a reflection of how, I don't know if spoiled is the right word in recent times, but then, you know, we've been living off crumbs the last couple of transfer windows. But to Spence himself, just really quickly, first game I saw him was the Arsenal game, I believe, for Forest, and he was very good, very, very good. He wasn't amazing in the playoff final, but, you know, football Twitter likes to do this thing where you can't be a good player if you don't drop a 9.5 out of 10 every single game. So, you know, lots to develop with him. I think athletically, he's very, very good. I wouldn't say he's Kyle Walker rapid, but, you know, I don't think he's going to get done for speed by 99% of wingers in the league. I think when he eventually earns his start, I'd love to see what he's like against Zaha. I think that'd be a really, really interesting matchup, because Emerson, I've still not forgotten Emerson's first game against Willy Zaha. Going forward, he's probably got a little bit to work on delivery-wise, but he's got time. You know what I'm saying? I'm not overly concerned about his deficiencies, because what footballer doesn't have deficiencies? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously excited about that talent. And obviously there was a lot of talk, just expanding again on that second question I asked of Levy being the one to hold up the deal. Was there something coming from you, Sai, or should I try not to be shameless?
No, I think the indicator that it was probably Levy involved in it was the fact that the Carl Walker-Peters story came out a couple of days ago about him potentially having a buyback clause, and that sounded very Levy-esque. Play a bit of chicken, no pun intended with the chicken on the shirt, but... But yeah, I'm glad that it's done, and I do think there's probably some truth in Levy probably scoping out what's going on elsewhere in terms of a lot of continental talent getting brought in and saying, oh, I'll take this one, get the young English boy in. He does love a lighty as well, so it adds some fuel to the fire. So yeah, man, credit where it's due, innit? When you sign a player and the fee isn't massive, you deserve some credit. We're paying for potential ultimately. So, yeah, let's see how he gets on.
I ain't giving him no credit. Ban him.
Bad guy's back.
Yeah, ban him. I ain't got time for all this credit stuff to be given him, because my whole thing is, this ain't the first time my man's done this nonsense. Yeah. Now, people will be like, oh, 12.5. It's good business. I hear you, brother. But Levy can go somewhere. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, you can go do one. Because my whole thing is this. Paratici came in and said, look, I heard Conte is going to bounce, innit? If he don't get four man before July, Paratici made it happen. Evie was like, don't worry, I'll run point on Spence. Small little 20 mil, you know? It's not like we're broke. Small little 20 mil. Man want to go and do, listen, I'll give you, man, 10 million, two vouchers to Chiking, and a Guns N' Roses t-shirt.
Man said, I give you good price.
Good price. That's what my man was doing for small 20 million. Listen, this better be the only transfer of this window that Levy runs point on. Because if I hear he's running point on others, now that I'm back in the stadium, you go see me. You go see me at kickoff. And it's going to be hella violent, considering my past record, which I won't speak on.
Redacted.
Take that back.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, indeed. But no, I'm not giving him no credit. I'm just happy that this saga, which, like Ohio said, seems a bit drawn out, which is weird because we're only barely in the middle of July, has taken quite a while. But this will be, what, our sixth signing? So technically, you know, we're still doing business. And from what I'm hearing, could be two or three more.
Exactly. And yeah, not to be shameless, just to summarize on it, I guess, like, I'm obviously credit where it's due on the fee on Levy's part, but ideally, I was saying on another part, I think it might have been like 2 weeks ago, that ideally we want someone, like, if we're going to get Spence in and we're serious about him, then get him in before the tour, so he can get in with the team as soon as possible and bring him up to the quality we need him to be, because of his lack of experience at the top level. So yeah, my thing is, see, generally on the timeline, like, whenever we do something good in transfers and in the market, Paratici gets the credit. Whenever something goes bad, then Levy is the one that gets it in the neck, whereas really and truly it should be both of them either which way.
Nope, not doing it.
So what are we saying that Daniel Levy is going to go and court James Maddison? Yeah, is that what we're saying? Well, so,
yeah, looking double, like it
the double thing up is, on all the praise.
Do you know what it is? I would love to take away some credit for Levy here in the name of Scott Hall as well. But I think what I have to give Levy credit for is, I don't mind him squeezing out as much, you know, lowered fee from other teams, because I think a lot of teams have seen this 150 mil and they thought, you know, I think Levy's made sure that people aren't going to try and take us for how teams try to take Liverpool with the Coutinho money. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and United with De Jong.
Exactly. Because teams could look at us and be like, right, you've clearly got 150 chip. Like, people might look at the Spence and be like, oh, you gave 20 up front for a guy who's never played Prem. Right. That is our base fee for anyone who's remotely similar to that. Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I feel like the next couple of negotiations, I think it will depend on what league certain man are in. Like, we've got his name, Greta Stansom, who I think is going to have some sort of say in UK transfers as well. I know he's predominantly like performance stuff, which is Hotspur away. But, you know, obviously, ITK Ash is saying that Levy was involved in the Richarlison deal. I kind of believe it, to be fair. I don't know how you knew he had dinner with the Everton director of football, unless that was reported, but fair enough. Do I trust Levy to get a Maddison deal done? As long as you don't pay anything like a Maguire fee. Swap deals aren't, I think a lot of people talk about that, like, swapping wings and stuff. Swap deals are very rare, common. They're not very commonplace anymore. They're a lot more popular. I feel like if anything, it would be like a swap not on paper, if that makes sense. I feel like,
yeah,
I'm sure there's some effort.
It would be a Walker Peters thing because of financial fair play. They have to,
exactly. So I trust Levy to bring us Maddison. I just don't trust him to get it done this in the next 4 weeks.
God damn, it's an interesting one with Maddison. As well, obviously, he'd command a huge fee. Is this not going to be... I mean, I actually want Maddison, but again, like, is he going to come in and be first team for the fee we're going to be paying for him, or is he going to be, I guess, rotational with Kulusevski?
definitely rotation, man. It's for me, it's the same vibe as the Eriksen deal. It's like we're not changing our system for James Maddison. I'm sorry, I know a lot of people are high on him, but in terms of production, you're not getting more than you get with Kulusevski, in my opinion. So, in all honesty, they'll be battling out for that right-hand side, and Kulusevski will have stake in that starting role. So, yeah, ultimately, he's going to be a rotation guy to begin with, and there are enough games to go around. He'll probably be looking at the fact that we're playing Champions League as a main reason why he would join us. So, yeah, I think it's more of the same, really. Like, we're just looking for depth and quality in some of these positions, and whatever happens, happens.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, I think he has said as well, and as we'll play as an attacking midfielder in a 3-5-2. I can see that as an option. I know I do struggle to see Conte deviating from the 3-4-3.
With the way we set up in defensive phases, Kulusevski makes a three in midfield anyway, so it's not this revolutionary big change anyway. He will start from the right hand side and he will tuck in when needed. Like, we're not gonna totally change the system at this moment in time when everything else is being built to accommodate the system that we've already been playing. I personally can't see it. One or two games, yeah, but we'll line up with the 3-4-3. Like, I think
a part of it might depend on opposition. And I feel like there might be some games where we start with the 3-4-3 with Maddison, and then we'll then realize, right, we actually need to, they're doing super low block. We need to like really, really unlock these guys. Let's move Maddison into the middle and then get some other runners. But I think like he could definitely play in the hole in a 3-5-2 with, you know, maybe Bissouma and Bentancur behind him, or Skip and Bissouma, depending on what is required. But I do think some games, you know, depending on the fitness of Kulusevski and Richarlison, it's very possible Maddison could play on the left of the front three, tucking in. Like, he'd just be in that left area, you know, obviously have a very different role to what Son would be doing. But, you know, I think he definitely would have Perisic doing a lot of the attacking wing play in the area for him if he was to play in that 3-4-3. So I think Madison's a little bit more flexible than people will give him credit for. I do think 3-4-3 will be our predominant base all season, but we'll see a lot more 3-4-3 than 3-5-2, should we say.
I don't want to hark on about this, but I do think that people are just in love with this idea of having in the whole playmaker. Like, the fact of the matter is in low, against low block systems, what does City do? They don't play through the middle. They play wide and they have crosses coming in from middle wing areas, and they just pepper teams. Pepper, pepper, pepper. And we've seen that Maddison likes to occupy those half spaces. So why are we romanticizing this whole, oh yeah, we need somebody to sit just on the edge of the 18-yard box and spray. There's no space to spray. There's no space to spray. There's no space in behind when there's a low block. You need to whip the ball in and play the lower averages in it. Volume, high volume and quality, and we'll see it over the line, man. Like, it's that whole...
We're suffering, Si. We haven't... We're suffering. We thought Delhi was going to be the source god. And look what happened to him.
what did you say, Charlie?
Oh, sorry, Bamidele. Sorry.
respect your elders, B. Listen, that you got shipped because he didn't say sorry to his father. Don't fall for the same thing, bro.
Every fucking pod.
Don't fall for the same thing, bro.
Left in chat, you.
Yaa has been saying that since the inception of this pod, and it kills me every time.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right.
Telling you, bro, you apologize, he gets all his powers back. Them stuff they don't play about with, bro. Hey, listen, Bamidele, sort yourself out, bro. No, but I agree with, funny enough, I actually agree with both of you. See, the thing is, I only think this so-called 3-5-2 really comes into play if we're facing the likes of, say, not so much Man City, but more Liverpool. I think Liverpool, maybe Chelsea. Yeah, I think both of those teams, the way they play that 3-5-2 formation tends to catch them out quite a lot. However, the 3-4-3 is the formation that Conte went with for large parts, pretty much 90% of last season, and it worked. I think teams that sat deep against us, I wouldn't say it was the formation that went against us. I think it was the creativity of said individual players, where I don't think the formation will change. It might be the personnel used in that formation that will be Conte's go-to. So where, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a team, Burnley, for argument's sake, where, say, Kvaratskhelia wasn't great, he might go Richarlison. Or if we do get Maddison, because it's all rumours at this point, might go Maddison, and it will still be a 3-4-3, in my opinion. I don't really see him deviating from that. I think the 3-5-2 formation is more a formation that he would use or has used more away from the English game, which is predominantly better suited for Serie A.
So we could potentially see it in Europe, maybe.
Yeah. It makes sense for me to see the 3-5-2 used more in a European game than, say, Premier League. Premier League's tough. It's not no joke. Like, you've got teams like Burnley. Thank God they got relegated. Trash. Trash club, bruv. Trash kit as well. Trash stadium. Trash everything, bruv. I hope they never come back in my life. Everything about them infuriates me. Just useless. Useless. But yeah, no, I'm glad teams like Burnley are gone. Hopefully next season will be, there'll be less teams sitting back. I know some teams have said in the past, oh, Spurs, all they do is sit back and counter. Well, if you don't know football, then that's what you would think, innit? Yeah, if your footballing knowledge is basic, then that's literally what you'd think, that all we do is sit back and counter. If you've gone and watched quite a number of our games last season, you would see we actually played out from the back and dominated quite a large share of the possession. So we shall see how these newer players are integrated into the team. I think the good thing is with the transfers we've done so far is that, for me personally, I don't think anybody's position is safe. I know people are rolling their eyes and they're going to be like, Kane and Son are starters. Listen, all I'm saying is certain man can't sleep in it. That's all I'm going to say. The way the team's looking right now, you shouldn't be comfortable in thinking, yeah, I can have a bad game this week, I'm starting next week. I don't expect that from Conte. I expect certain man, if they don't wake up and you know, doing the chakras to touch bench, and this message is sponsored by, you know, my good friends down the road, for you personally, hoisin sauce, you twat. I can't wait for you to look.
It'll be interesting to see. I know it's been heavily rumoured and reported that we're looking to sign a playmaker, not necessarily to even operate as a 10, but maybe someone we can just bring on or even start as like a kind of small tweak, not necessarily a backup lamb, but a small tweak. Because I do think in the league, especially people or teams are going to sit against us more often. Like, I was thinking about the game at the back end of last season when we played Aston Villa away as an example, where they just came at us for the first half of the game and really put the pressure on. Couldn't find a way to score, and we weren't playing that well. It was always a case of, like, oh, if we put two or three passes together, we are going to cut them apart. And lo and behold, because they came out of their shell and stayed out of their shell, we managed to just pick them apart and beat them 4-0 in the end. I think teams will see that. They won't be as naive, and we're going to have a plan B, whether that be a change of system from a 3-4-3 to a 3-5-2, even though that's basically it's the same on pitch anyway. Yeah, just a different personnel, maybe playing in different positions to essentially just create more chances and help sustain pressure. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, as I said, I'm pleased the club are looking at that. With our sixth signing over the line now, obviously we're still on this touring career, but the players are training rigorously with this new fitness coach. Let's see, we've seen all the pictures with players collapsing to the floor. We've seen jokes made about players who aren't even there, just being forced. Fair enough. The reports are that Davinson Sanchez was training as left centre back before the game against K-League All-Stars, and apparently the players who kind of got not necessarily criticised the most, but got more of a talking to than others was Scott Hall's boy, Mr. Goatee, and Fraser Forster, essentially just not getting in position quick enough to receive the ball and distribute the ball quick enough. That's setting the tone for the K-League All-Stars. We had lineup. We had Brandon Austin in goal. Emerson Royale deputised at right wing back. Trying to remember our defence now. Romero, Dyer and Sanchez did in fact play left centre back. Sessegnon, Bentancur, Skip. So the return of Skip. And then we had Brian Hill, Lucas Moura, and then Richarlison made his first appearance in the shirt. Just to start off, I guess, the review of the friendly, I was pleased personally to see Hill and Lucas starting on the sides that they were. I've always said that Lucas Moura was slightly better on the left than he is the right. And then Brian Hill being tested on that right-hand side is maybe a potential rotational option for Kulusevski. But generally, I don't know who wants to start it off, but how would we see the first, half?
All general? I saw really in the first half was the screamer by Eric Dyer. My scream was cutting out. I was in and out of meetings. But yeah, put some respect on that guy's name, man. Both feet, he's got a bit of tech. Like, he's improved, man. He's improved. I've been saying it since the inception of the pod. Eric Dyer is not a bad player. Eric Dyer went through periods of bad football. And that's just it. He's improving. Give him time. We're not buying a replacement for Eric Dyer. So, yeah, I want to see him continue to improve, continue to be the staple in that center position. And then, obviously, yeah, let's see if he can bag a few free kicks or something this season.
Other takeaways.
He's not taking them, I'm all good, man.
I think, obviously, there's literally only so much you can take from a preseason game. I'm going to be so honest. I was just more interested on, like, when, you know, Charlie Sayers came on, or Malachi Fagan-Walcott, or Papa Matasar. I know a lot of people were very intrigued to see what he's about. I think with Sarr, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of hyperbole in football Twitter anyway, and there was a lot of hyperbole in Spurs Twitter as well. I think Sarr was okay. He was as okay as he could be. I don't even know what the temperature was over there, but I was sweating watching it. I think he looked a bit shy at the beginning, but it was technically his debut, I guess. Like, I wouldn't really know who he's tight with in the squad to be, like, demanding the ball and stuff. Like, you know, from picks, it looks like Ndombele was going to be his guy, but then Ndombele didn't go. So, you know, it does make me wonder who Sars Chinu with. I don't know how good his English is, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, he looked... what I did like is that he doesn't dally on the ball too much. That was one thing I did notice. He's not a dilly-dally with it. He does love a give and go. Like, his head's on a swivel. He likes to release the first time. I didn't see a lot through the lines, but I didn't see a lot through the lines from anyone, to be honest. But yeah, I think Sarr could be competing for that fifth midfielder spot. And obviously, if he's good enough to play higher up the pecking order, then that's fantastic. I think Troy Parrott looked lively when he came on. He actually looked like, oh, this could be, he's not going to play. I don't think he's playing Prem this year, obviously, but he looked like a striker. I don't know if that sounds weird to say, because I've seen Parrott in games before. Obviously, it was, you know, 2 years ago or whatever. He did look like he could cause a certain level of opposition problems, should we say. I think he's only 20. Is he still 20? 21? I think he's 20.
Quite young.
Yeah, something like that. Like, he's also a child. Do you know what I'm saying? So now he looked good. Lucas was Lucas, I guess. And Davinson Sanchez should never play left centre back ever again. Like, Davinson Sanchez can cover right centre back if he likes, but I cannot lie, because it's not even because they've, you know, the whole tight extra inch man, pause, Nathan Clark and them, they've been saying he was looking a bit techie in training, which is fair, but he's still getting spun out of his socks by K-League All-Stars, man. What's going on? That watching Sanchez was painful.
In fairness to extra inch as well, they did kind of touch upon as well, like, we don't get why he looks so good in training, because he sustained is still bad in games, but they just couldn't put their finger on why. And that's fair enough, because, yeah, like you said, Macho, he was god-awful. And it just shows how he's played at left centre-back in the past as well. Like, when we had that 3-3 draw at home to West Ham, he was playing left centre-back. I think he played there in one of our away games in the Conference League. I want to say Antwerp. Again, terrible.
My whole thing was a nightmare. I don't even remember. I don't even remember Europa League, man.
You know,
Conference League, it doesn't matter.
I purchased Spurs Play because I didn't want my stream to be interrupted. You know, sometimes I do like legal activity, unlike Kevin. I don't know what he was doing with these links. Sometimes you got to make sure your links work, you know, Playboy. But I watched the full 90. The problem with pre-seasons is I don't give a flying crap about them. So, I did watch it. I did actually pay attention. But I was like, I don't really care what the scoreline was. So that's why I was laughing at every goal that went in. I just care for more the movement of the newer players integrating into the team and some of the younger players seeing how they've developed from the previous season. So, obviously, I watched a lot of Sarr last season, and it's nice to see that he's not afraid to carry over what he was doing into our team. I do think maybe he... Well, let's see how the rest of the preseason goes for him, but maybe a loan in this country would be better for him, so he's more acclimatized to the pace of this league, should I say. It's nice to have Skip back. It's good to have somebody that, you know, doesn't maraud around like a fool on the pitch, like certain man in red boots. I won't say his name, but that's for another day, another story. You know what I'm saying? As for Dyer, aka Diabolical, I appreciate the fact that he wants to, you know, retain his name and, you know, go back to the days of when we had some sort of respect for him. So far, he's retained his name. And that strike was beautiful. So, well done to him. I think he should be on a few, not too many, but a few. He should be on a few free kicks because I do not want to see that mock on free kick. I don't care that he scored a free kick, by the way. I actually don't care, but it was one of I'm not going to say the guy's name because I'm going to butcher it, but it was one of his set piece ideas, I'll call it tactics. So it was nice to see that actually get implemented, and obviously the muck scored. For those of you that don't know who the muck is, it's Kane, and you won't get his name back till I see a trophy lift, Facio. So yeah, that muck. Well done, innit? He scored a free kick. Son looked, I mean, to be honest with you, there was a bit of matrix in anyway, but Son looked a bit sharp.
That was hilarious. I've never seen a man try catch the ball in the penalty area.
They needed to
see the celebration just one time.
Hey, buddy. I don't want to get man in trouble, but definitely some bets were put on that time because wow, that was something else. I think, you know what, this is going to sound possibly surprising, but I'm actually very proud of Davinson Sanchez. Hear me out. That performance is what we needed to see. We needed to see that. Yeah, the board, everybody needed to see that performance to know that we need a left-sided centre-back pronto. Like, there's no two ways about it. Listen, it was awful. Like, I couldn't even understand what I was watching. I was like, granted, this preseason, and this might be your first competitive game, even though it's preseason, of the holidays. Like, this was bad. Like, you were bad against Moura. Them man were a team made of plumbers and freaking other trades that came and mashed you up. Fine. You were bad against many other teams. Fine. But K-League All-Stars, the mandem that only came together to basically perform a testimonial for Son, that's the team you want to give that performance against? Listen, if we name this pod anything, it is the Sanchez Appreciation Pod. Because, big man, you have forced the hand of this club. If we sign a left centre back this summer, I want everybody to thank Sanchez.
I think one of the many Brazilians at our club have been teaching man capoeira, because the way he was spinning on the floor was mad. And we've seen him do head slides and all of them type of things.
He was looking like Eddie from Tekken.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what's mad, yeah? I've seen him get spin completely spun out by that Palmeiro guy. Now, I know you guys are like, Palmeiro? Like, he didn't play. Whoever that blonde-headed striker was, looked like Palmeiro to me, bruv. So, as far as I'm concerned, I spun him out of his gates. I was like, what's going on here? Nah, man. Sanchez, there's been some stinky performances by many players that have donned our shirt. But that Sanchez is now officially, as of today, as bad of a left-sided centre-back as Gardner.
Anthony Gardner. Jesus Christ.
Listen, lads, I didn't want to have to go there. I know he cost us 40 million, but we have to be deadly honest with ourselves.
Yeah, he's got to go, man.
Listen, Anthony Gardner has one highlight in his entire career as Spurs. Yeah. And his highlight is doing this as Abdel Tarabat spins a man. Go check the highlight, bruv. That's his highlight, bruv. Because you couldn't tell me what Gardner done in his time period at our club. That guy was poo. Yeah, poo bear. Yeah, Michael Dawson as well. Yeah, I agree with you, Spurs Unfiltered. Michael Dawson stunk. And he...
Jack, you don't need to do that about Michael.
No.
Jack is shameless, man.
I will never forgive Michael Dawson. I still remember young boy's performance. I still remember it.
Bruv, I still remember his AC Milan performance at San Siro.
That young boy's performance. You know what hurt me the most is we got the draw. And it was like, young boys, never heard of them. I was like, all right, cool. Brush them over, go straight into the Champions League draw. We're good to go. Yeah. I didn't even watch the first leg. I was like, yeah, gonna clap these, man. Comfy. So I went and kicked ball at Ferry Lane. Minor. Came home. I knew it was peak when my own father looked at me and said, you don't want to know the result. I said, what? He goes, you don't want to know. And so I had to go search. The last performance was disgusting.
The last takeaway from the K-League game, Lucas Moura, right wing back. What are we saying? Think he can stay there?
Are you not seeing the smile on Sai's face as you ask that question?
That's another good thing that, you know, that's a good thing that he played that position. It's great news. We obviously put him there for one reason and one reason only, to promote his newly released Netflix documentary about himself. That's why we put him there. It was all promotional material. You think we've done it just for the game? Look, we needed somebody to focus on me. And now we are focusing on me. Yeah, little twat. Yeah. Listen, it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good. And Conte knew what he was doing. I never want to see that guy in that position ever again. Ever.
He looked a bit like Cho at right wing back. just straight line.
Who's that? Is that one of the K-League All-Stars?
Now that's your boy.
Actually, I think that's actually the name of the guy that scored the free kick. He wriggled that one so well.
Hey, you know what? I forgot to say, I need to give a quick shout out, actually. I'm going to give a quick shout out to Macho Man Randy Orton. Yeah, I done you dirty, innit? For those of you that don't know, Macho Man guided Nigeria to a World Cup victory. And I was proud of him, because the first time they lost in the final and I told him, hold that. And obviously he had to bring it back around and they won it the second time. But I've spoken to a lot of the other national teams. That will never happen again. Don't ever post your wins like that.
Yeah. I'm not doing it again. That was a stressful football manager journey ever.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, like I said, the preseason was good. I think our next game is Seville. And it's a midday kickoff. And I think that one will be it'll give us more of a take on, I hope Bissouma can play, but I know they've got a little bit of an outbreak because I need to see a few more of these players get their run out.
Yeah, Perisic as well. Although I do appreciate Conte tweaking attackers to play that kind of wing-back role. I agree. We can't see Lucas Moura play that again. Thoughts are clear on another option we have there. A last takeaway, not to just shamelessly move on after dropping that one, but Richarlison, for me, was one that I personally really wanted to see, obviously just for the first time in a Spurs shirt. And I wasn't completely sold on him at first, but to be fair to him, I thought he looked relatively sharp. Like, his dribbling and awareness of other players was really good. Positioning was good, even though he played in all three positions in the forward line. Started as the nine, held the ball up well, played well as you can do with Lucas Moura trying to supply you, even though you were through on goal like twice in like the space of 1 second, still didn't get played in. He stayed hungry, was on that left wing, took up a kind of Son-esque position as Kane came in and made his instant impact, only for this K-League player to force in an own goal, which would have been a Richarlison's happened had the defender not intervened. And then he had some good hold-up play and a good interchange play with Kane when he played on the right-hand side. So that was for you, Tobes, as well. Like, your Richarlison prop has actually worked wonders. and it was a good showing from him, I thought. I think it's definitely something to build on to not, I guess, take too much from the game as it is, obviously, pre-season. Jack's saying, I hope this severe game is a trial for Reguilón's return. Bro, he didn't make the tour, so I don't know if he's put himself in his shop window for that.
Man, I'm having a Reguilón testimonial without Reguilón, you know.
Hello? Nah. Put him in the freaking pre-match video so nah. They can see what he's done last season.
But no, if they're willing to buy Coco Lamella, then...
I actually feel sorry for Reguilón. I feel that injury's clapped him completely.
Yeah, back for him then if he can recover from his injury?
Nah.
Impossible.
Nah. That's a long road. Like,
we're even wasting time talking about Reguilón.
Yeah, it's a long road, bro. I don't know many men that come back from that road. You have to have some brass to even try. Like, look at that. Bro, he was called diabolical for like 3 years of his life. He went into the stadium stands to try and chase his brother attacker, couldn't even find him. Like, man was going down a dark road, somehow turned it around. Whereas
Reguilón had a better start. He went ham, got bought some ham, and then got injured. Who knows? So, like, for me, I would probably still lean on the side of selling him. But at the other side, I'm not sure if Sessegnon's quite over his injury issues yet, even though it looks like he's doing what's required to get over his injuries. So with that in mind, with that being maybe a 50-50, would you consider keeping Reguilón as that kind of rotational option for Perisic?
No, I'm personally fine with Sessegnon and Matt Doherty, to be honest, behind Perisic. I think Doherty is now an option both sides. I think we're fine with those two behind, to be honest.
I'm fine with suspect being back up, you know, until he gets full day release. There's no point of like having man as a starter, bro. You can't be under Oro while playing 90 minutes, bro. You know what I mean? So Perisic, both sides. Matthew, both sides as backup. Suspect whenever he's on day release.
Fair enough, fair enough. There's
no chance of Reguilon getting kept. No chance at this point. He's already behind two man, and then, as you said,
it's like, fam, seriously.
Oops.
That's the encapsulate. That's a major one, boy.
But yeah, he's going to struggle to get any game time. We already saw that. Conte had a preference to put Doherty there as well. So yeah, it's looking a bit sticky still.
Yeah, so he's not on the tour at all, is he?
Nah.
No, he's not. So yeah, it might be one and done for him. I guess the last point, I guess you could be looking to observe from obviously that only being a friendly is we made a new addition to the team not long before Spence. It wasn't a player. this famed, I think his name's Gianni, first name Gianni, surname Vio, who's a set piece wizard, has over 4,000 routines, looks to improve us attacking set pieces and obviously defending set pieces. We could even see like a 10 to 15 goal swing. Macho Man, I see you've been doing a little bit of reading up on the man. What were your thoughts? Did you see any evidence of his work in the friendly?
Yeah, I think, I'm not going to lie, when I saw the Kane free kick first time, I was just like, oh, this guy is just, he's just hit it low and it's gone in, and now he's going to think he's the guy for free kicks. I wanted Son to take it personally because I know Son, I think Son scored 2 free kicks for South Korea not too long ago. Yeah, but I watched it again and we actually put like a second wall to the right of it. And then I think it was, who was it that was standing in the middle? I don't know if it was Tanganga or somebody was like standing. So like the K-League wall had to split. And then just as Kane made his run up, the false wall, the secondary wall on the other side, like ran in to cause confusion. So even though it looked like Kane just hit it at first glance, like it was obviously practiced. And I feel like, you know, like I said, I'm going to try not to lift overly from The Athletic because they have dropped some good articles, but you know, obviously I think when we've not been renowned for being any sort of danger from set pieces whatsoever in recent seasons. A couple of stuff I read from The Athletic earlier is like we didn't score from our first 62 corners last season, which is extremely concerning. Like it was one of them, I don't know if anyone's played rugby here, but you know, so I used to be a back. And then forwards, if you're throwing it in there, the guys, like, you put someone in the air, bring it down, etc. If you've got backs that are shit-hot, rapid, good hands, we can hit some strike moves, score some tries, we wouldn't even be bothered because we know our forwards are not going to win this line-out. And that was how I felt watching Tottenham with corners. I was like, I'm not really going to give a shit about this corner. I just don't want somebody to counter us and we concede. Do you know what I mean? So I think that is, like, very efficient hiring from Conte to just be like, look, like we need to get more goals from elsewhere rather than just strikers. So obviously Vio, and then just to emphasize how bad we were with set pieces, I think in the league we were 17th with the amount of shots from set pieces, whether that's like direct or rebounds, etc. We were 14th in terms of like goals scored from set pieces, again, whether that's direct, indirect, rebounds. Set piece XG, we were 9th, which is as good as it gets. And our total percentage XG from set pieces was 18th. So we're very muddied in regards to set pieces, to be honest. And then just lastly, just obviously he did a lot of work with Italy when they won the Euros. So before the Athletic article was dropped, I actually went back and watched all of Italy's goals on YouTube. So I think Italy scored 13 goals overall. And I think they scored 3 from corners and they technically scored 4, but 1 was offside. So 23% of their goals were from corners, which in an international tournament, I think is relatively unheard of. If the other one, it would have been 31. and historically places he's gone. So when he was at Fiorentina, when they finished fourth in that year in 2012, like nearly half their goals were from set pieces, or 40%, but nearly half the goals from set pieces. And he's got a book out called Set Pieces, the 15 Goal Striker. You know, I think it can't be underestimated how important scoring double figures in terms of corners is. You know, City last year, their set piece goal difference was 17. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think I think it might be my favorite signing thus far. You know, if we get Maddison, that'll go my number one. But I think John Vieira's quality signing on our behalf.
Bruv, you just sold him, bruv. All I saw was that one YouTube clip, but
he's nuts.
I need to go back and do my Googles, bruv. I'm gonna go back and watch that Italian YouTube of the Euros, because
yeah,
I know one of the goals. If I'm correct, one of the goals from a set piece would be the equaliser against England.
Yeah, in the final. Right.
So, and you know, I mean, I know we didn't score, you know, many goals from set pieces and corners last season, but from my recollection of last season, I'm pretty sure we scored some important goals from corners. You know, obviously, certain man came to our ground, didn't it? held one from a corner. You know, I won't say who scored, but I know Bentancur got the flick on. That's all I'm saying. But you know, if we've got this guy coming in and he's doing set piece thing, you know what? One thing I did see in the preseason, funny enough, is there was a corner we took. It didn't come to nothing, but we had three guys. I remember Dyer being one of them, on just past the penalty. We had two on the near post, one on the back post, one kind of just right side of the three that were in the box. And then another guy just ran into the box, which took the J-League guy into the box with him. I was like, flip, there's a hell of movement in this box. I was like, yeah, listen, if this guy is on, well, he's on a permanent contract, but I don't know how long he's on a permanent contract for. We cannot be losing this kind of like recruitment anytime soon. We need to stamp some authority over here and get back to winning ways.
And the last thing I noticed, and I don't know how much Vio has to do with this, but this is a guy who has nearly 5,000 set pieces, so probably Italy scored like quite a lot of long range goals, and like we've not seen Dyer even like really attempt that many long ranges like when the ball's moving. So I think Italy scored 3 goals outside the box. I know Chiesa had another one that was basically like just inside the box. So like if over 25% of their goals are coming from long shots, and we have a couple of long shot shooters, we've got Son, we've got Kane. I think, you know, Kulu can do the Iron Robin thing if we need to. Basuma, very understated long range shooter. And just from comps, like Saar has also got a long shot in him as well. So again, I don't know how much of you has to do with that, but that could be another part of the whole, you know, 15 goal striker thing. Do you know what I mean?
We need to lick more shots from outside. Like, that's one thing that was pissing me off, especially towards the back end of Jose's tenure. I was like, people don't really lock off, like, they don't like knock off enough shots, bro. It's just flipping annoying.
We saw Kane lick off a long range shot as well in that front loop.
We did.
Not even that long.
Yeah. More of the same from him, innit? Do it in a final, please. Please.
Yeah, for once.
Please.
But yeah, like my I guess my favorite thing as well with this Vio signing is it almost negates the need for us to sign a set piece specialist. I mean, I see quite a lot of fans, mostly on the timeline, saying that we need to drop stupid money on James Ward-Prowse purely because he's a set piece specialist.
Yeah.
Where Heung-min Son has been improving his set pieces, not only his direct free kicks, which we saw for Korea, but some of our goals we've scored, yeah, from corners back in the last season. I can remember another Sanchez header. Off the top of my head, I was thinking before the pod, I could remember quite a few goals. Now they've slipped my mind. Obviously, we had that one in the North London Derby, but we did start to score more goals from set pieces towards the end of last season, purely as a result of Heung-min Son's set piece delivery from corners. Being a lot better than I can't remember who's taken them before, but
I think they were shared.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, whenever I think set pieces, obviously it's a massive, massive bonus to get double-digit goals from set pieces. It can be the thing that propels you towards higher than top four even. But my biggest worry is the other end. Our defending from set pieces have been traditionally pretty bad over the last couple of years, especially. Nobody ever really looks too confident with who they're marking. And I don't know how much VO will have input on that side, but I'd hope to see some sort of improvement on that end of set pieces this season.
For sure. Very exciting times. All right, that all about wraps up for tonight's stream and the podcast itself. We've been the new Spurs Order. Thank you to those who have been watching on the stream. Thank you, ITK Ash and Jack, for your comments during the stream as well. So on behalf of us, we'll see you next week. Keep a lookout for us on the Twitter and the Instagram at New Spurs Order. And as for tonight, it's been a pleasure and peace.
Peace.
On debut, Tunge Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs.
Lucas Moura clips it.
Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London. That is absolutely incredible on debut. Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.